tonight. Ruben's sexuality, please don't take that the wrong way, changes to the program what it means for you and your family. Dependence on laptops, signs you may be fostering it yourself. Felix Tanjono is in the hot seat on Interview of the Week. We find out what Mad Mike compares Malaysia to. And let's just say, if I were to say that he's far off, it wouldn't be too far off. Plus, will it sink the top five listener feedback and other pointless random crap? It's Monday the 12th of March 2007 and Ruben at Show 221. Welcome to the program. I'm your host, Jim Shade, from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. It's always a pleasure to have your company, etc. so forth, and all the formalities. Recording from a FreeBSD machine running Ardua. Yes, this is the first time I've recorded the Ruben Earth Show using only open source software. I feel so good. Got a lot of stuff coming up today. Of course, this is the first of the weekly episodes, after which I did daily episodes for quite a long time, for about a year, well, not quite a long time, maybe but for about a year or so. I think it was May or June last year. I could be mistaken. I should research these things before I start. So I did daily shows for a long time. I really enjoyed doing them, but unfortunately, the real world has started setting in, and doing daily shows is just not feasible anymore. Frank Edward Nora discovered that, and now I have it now as well. So have had to ditch the daily format, but focusing now on weekly episodes, so hopefully it'll be pretty good. Anyway, I'll be talking about that in just a few minutes' time. Also, we got a lot of stuff coming up today. I'm telling you now, the notes I've got take up two LCD screens full. I mean, this is a hardcore thing. The last time I did something like this, but what was the show I did before the daily episodes? It was about episode 80, I think, when I started doing daily shows. Again, I could be mistaken, and again, I should have researched beforehand. So we'll take it from there. Got a lot of stuff coming up for you. First thing, funny thing happened on the way to the Ruben Earth Show. I'm going to try doing this first segment of each program. Funny thing happened on the way to the Ruben Earth Show. Starbucks Berjaya Times Square. Now, of course, there are Times Squares all over the world. There's a Times Square in Hong Kong, Times Square in New York. Obviously, there's a Times Square in London, and now there's a Times Square in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia as well. It's a very big shopping complex. In fact, I believe it's the biggest in Malaysia. It didn't feel that way to me, but that's what they claim on their website. And if it's on their website, of course, it has to be true. So I was at Starbucks at Berjaya Times Square in the city, in the middle of KL, and I was sitting there drinking coffee. I know that's surprising, given the fact that I was at a Starbucks drinking coffee. I know that shocks everyone, but I was sitting there drinking coffee, mostly actually using their internet, because where we live in Kuala Lumpur, we live way out in Gita Bayu, which is in Sri Kembangan, which is it's a fair way out from the city, actually. I guess it would be the Western equivalent of living in the suburbs. I mean, KL is huge, so we're way out in the suburbs there, and I'm not too sure whether it's because the fiber optic cable hasn't reached out this far, we're still on copper, something like that. My grandfather had the same problem in Australia for many years, or something like that. But we have broadband here, but it is extremely unreliable, and to the point where we could upload, if I try and upload a Ruben Earth Show that's, well, for example, this one might be a challenge, to upload a program, it can get about three quarters of the way through, and it doesn't stop. And it doesn't disconnect, it just stalls, which is very irritating, because nearly all the programs these days that let you resume broken downloads won't let you resume stalled ones, because you have to cancel them. It's a real pain in the ass. So, cut a long story short, I was in Starbucks in the city, Berjaya Times Square, uploading some of my university work, of course, because I study externally. And so I was sitting there minding my own business. Funny thing happened on the way to the Ruben Earth Show, typing away, drinking. I think I was drinking an Americano. I asked for a mocha and they gave me Americano. I can understand how you can get those confused. sorry, it came out a bit loud. So sitting there, and I believe there might be, I think there's a Chinese high school nearby or something. Either that, or I'm not too sure. You have to know, in Malaysia, I'd say about 25-30% of the country are Chinese. It's a very big minority. They basically control all the business here. So it's very common to see Chinese people around here. So I was sitting there drinking my coffee, and a bunch of, I believe they were Chinese high school girls, sitting at the table about three or four tables down in the middle of the room. I was sitting in the corner because that's where the PowerPoint is. Aha! If you're in Malaysia, don't steal my PowerPoint, Sam. I'm telling you that right now. You'll regret it. I'll powerboard you. Yeah, that's the thing. I'll have to talk about that at some point on another program, that this whole issue of in Malaysia now, and I'm sure in Singapore it's the same too, since I've been gone, I can't breathe for the first time. This whole obsession with bringing power boards every time when you have a computer or a double adapter or something. It's become a subculture, but I don't have time this episode. So I was sitting there in the corner, and I think there were about three or four of them were sitting at the table down there. Anyway, I was minding my own business. And I looked up, and they started walking towards my table, and they were looking at my head. No, not at my face, at my head. And one of them approached, they were standing in front of my table, and one of them looked at me, and very, very soft voice, and said, "Hello, are you gay?" I'm not BSing you here. I was sitting there by myself, walked up, "Hello, are you gay?" and I don't know why. I get the feeling, in a lot of circumstances, I can just be sitting here minding my own business or on a train or something, or if I'm introduced to someone, and the first few questions will be, "Hello, where are you from? What's your name? Are you gay?" So, I don't know. Apparently, my father has the same problem, so maybe I inherit it from him, and the fact that I have long hair now probably doesn't really help that much either, but saying that, asking me if I was gay. So, I'm used to this question, and usually, at first I was quite, well, not horrified, but I'd say, "No, of course not, I'm not gay, what are you on about?" But these days I find you actually make people very uncomfortable, and this is a very sneaky thing to do. You sort of look at them, pause, and then say, "I don't know, what do you think?" So I'm sitting there, she just asks, "Hello, are you gay?" And I looked up, and it was a few seconds past, and I said, "You know what? I don't know. What do you think?" That was a real curveball they weren't expecting. And eventually I said, no, I'm not gay. And apparently, they wanted to know how common it is for Westerners to have long hair and to look gay. I don't know. To look at, I'm sure, I don't know if I look gay or not. Do I look gay? There are pictures of me on the website, and I try to be as un-gay as possible. I'm wearing guy's clothes, and I've got a mug in my hand. I'm looking determined on my profile page. I'm trying to look as un-gay. Do I look gay? I think, but apparently it's a very common mistake. It's, maybe I give people the wrong impression of something. It's no good. Anyway, I got the top five coming up in just a sec. First of all, some listener feedback regarding some previous episodes of the fact that I was gay. That's really painful. That really is. Some listener feedback from a few weeks ago. Of course, the Ruminant Show has been on hiatus again. I say again in a dry tone because it has been for several times, given family circumstances and so forth, hence the reason to do a weekly show. I think it has several advantages, but I'll talk about that in a sec. First of all, in regards to the plunger episode, if you haven't heard that, I wasn't discussing toilets, I was discussing coffee. I can understand how you can get that confused. A coffee, toilets are about the same thing, some people say. My sister certainly would. And this was a response to, and have I got the page open here, because I was all prepared. I'm running FreeBSD now, and I've got all these virtual displays open, so I can just flick through them with my scroll wheel. So here we go. Now, which one was it? That's a good one. Here we go. Dave, aka Mr. Bunny, from davesphotogallery.net, said, "Liked your explanation on how to make a perfect plunger coffee. This, however, was completely wrong. First of all, you take the plunger, aka coffee press, aka cafetière. I've never heard that before. Second, add favorite coffee. In my case, Cafe Direct Medium Roast or Lavazza Cream Gusto. Cream gusto, that sounds good. Third, add a small cup of cold water, just enough to cover the ground coffee. This stops the boiled water from burning the coffee." I did not know that. "Add a small amount of cold water in a plunger coffee maker, just enough to cover the ground coffee. This stops the boiled water from burning the coffee." I did not know that. The guy on the coffee show did not tell me. I feel cheated. Fourth, add water just off the boil. That's true. Leave for about 4 to 5 minutes. Fifth, enjoy. So that's very good. So thank you again to Dave for that. Manny the Mailman says, "I never had plunger coffee. I will have to find a place where I can try some. I sort of always thought of plunger coffee as a sort of an emergency thing. You know, if you're in an emergency and you can't get yourself on the machine things, instead of having one of those sort of compressed steam machine things, if you don't have one of those and you're in a desperate hurry and you don't want to resort to Shutter instant coffee, you can grab yourself a coffee plunger and make it that way. He responds there and he says, I find that it doesn't matter how coarse it's ground. Once it has been brewed, if you swill the jug, the coffee will sink. Then you push down the plunger. Plunger coffee is basically fresh ground coffee the same way as you use in various machines. So there you go. And I think Surrealist, wow, he's actually posted a picture. He said, my cafetière, I don't know, how do you pronounce that? Cafetière? I'm terrible with pronunciations. You would think someone who's lived in four different countries would know how to pronounce words. This morning I'll try Bunny's Boiling Tips. So there you go. Now, and it goes on there. You can go to rubenandshow.com/forum for that. There you go. Information about plunged coffee. Also got some more feedback. I think it was regarding episode 219. And I've got my notes here. Listener feedback. No, that was coffee plungers. It could have been the same episode where I was talking about the amount of crap you have in your wallet, and it's insane how much stuff you can have in your walls at any one time. It's ridiculous. So anyway, Manny the Mailman and Felix, aka Red Dragon 3883, have posted what they've got in their wallets. It's amazing when you think about it that a few years ago you probably would have, well, maybe not a few years ago, maybe a decade or so ago, you'd be lucky to have two or three cards, and these days they're just stacks of them. I wonder if you lined up all the cards in the world, like credit cards, maybe even just credit cards would be enough to do it, but credit cards and ID cards and driver's licenses, medical insurance, department store cards, university cards, Rubenerd show fan club cards, all these sort of things, Mad Mike not liking cards, anything like this, stick them all together in a row and see how far that would stretch. I'm sure that would stretch at least to Jupiter and back 400 times, if that. Maybe even more than that. I'm not too sure. So anyway, some listener feedback there on the Rubenerd forum. If you want to post something yourself, rubenerdshow.com/forum. Or if you want something a bit more personal, ruben@shade.sg. I love my new email address, ruben@shade.sg. It's my name. It's clever. It's clever. And let me know if you're going to email me, if you want to keep it private and you don't want me to read it on the show. Otherwise, I will, because I love listener feedback. It's good. Anyway, time for the top five, ladies and gentlemen. Signs you're too dependent on your laptop. Top five signs you are too dependent on your laptop. I remember I used to have theme music for each of the segments, and I cannot find the backup DVD that I put them on. It was about episode 70 I started doing the daily show. So I desperately need to find my backups so I can get all the music back. Or maybe I could just cut the theme song things out of previous episodes, but that'd be messy. Signs you're too dependent on your laptop. Top five. Number five, you only choose to dine at locations that have Wi-Fi. Now, that would be sweet. If you're on a date with your girlfriend or something, how about this Italian restaurant? Looks very nice. Oh, yes, very nice. Do they have Wi-Fi? I can imagine myself saying that and then her running away. Number four, you carry around a power board or double adapter for those mad coffee shop PowerPoint dashes. They suspect the PowerPoint. They look at each other. Instantly, they start running. One of them trips, falls, explodes in a big ball of fire, and the other one manages to sit down in front of the PowerPoint, plug his laptop in, and he is the man. We have a winner. Carry a power board, a double adapter for those around. Top five signs you're too dependent on your laptop. So far, I'm a tick and a tick. Number three, you use your otherwise idle desktop machine to record crappy podcasts. hitting a bit too close to home there, but I can take that one as well. Number two, you say that a $500 fold-out solar panel you saw on eBay, you saw one, and considered it a justifiable expense. That's another tick for this one. And the number one sign, here we go, the number one out of the top five signs you're too dependent on your laptop. This isn't a laptop, it's an extension of my body. What? I wouldn't say that. The top five. This isn't a laptop, it's an extension of your body. Top five signs you're too dependent on your laptop here on The Rubenerd Show. Oh, It's scary when you make something like the top five signs you're doing something as a sort of a joke, and you can actually tick them off all yourself. That's just... Maybe that hit a bit too close to home. I'm going to have to do something a bit more abstract next time. Signs you're too dependent on your laptop. Anyway, I'll be doing a podcast review in just a second. Of course, we've got Will at Sync and my interview in just a few minutes' time. But first of all, talking about some changes happening to the Rubinode Show. It's really, really good. Now that I'm doing the program every week. Yes, that's right. It's not weekday anymore. It's every week, as I used to do. On episode 1 to about episode 14, I did the show daily, and then from episode 14 for a few episodes, I did it daily, and then I did it every 2 times a week, then I did it 5 times a week, and now I'm back to 1 time a week, so it's very confusing, and I apologize, but it's, I guess that's the advantage of doing podcasting. It's a completely flexible schedule. It could also be the curse of it that may be not so good, but it's great to be able to be back on the airwaves again after that brief hiatus, and it's very, very good to be able to have one episode a week again for several reasons. First of all, I can introduce all my stupid new segments again. I missed having segments. And Frank would attest to this, how difficult it is to come up with material occasionally. Most of the time I have so much crap going on that it's very easy to come up with material for programs. Sometimes it's not so easy, you know, maybe it's a bit more difficult to come up with stuff. And when you have segments, you can sort of prioritize it in your head, get stuff out there. I think it's very good. Also, I don't have to talk as fast because I have more than 10 minutes. Although, given the speed at which I'm talking at the moment, I need to stop saying "ah" at the middle of every sentence, and I need to stop talking so fast. I've been told that by people, and I need to start implementing that. So, all my stupid new segments, talking not so fast, have a lot more time. Hopefully, I'm going to be having an interview each week by someone interesting. In fact, I've got the interview lined up here, ready to go. Now, I actually cheated this episode and did it in advance because of a, shall we say, time zone difference. Maybe you might guess who it is by now, but time zone difference is not a good thing. But will it sync the top five? Something stupid, a little more serious now, with something completely different. Frank Edward Nora, what podcast? Reviews, books, music, it's great. I'm going to be able to do all this stuff again. It's awesome. So the new direction of the Rubinode Show, of course, as with everything, I hope is the case. If you have any comments or suggestions, you can do the methods that I talked about previously. And suggestions are really good. If you didn't like one particular episode, or you think I'm talking too fast, or that I'm boring as hell, you know, let me know about it, because without listeners, the show is nothing, and I want to things that listeners want to listen to, which is why I'm going to try cutting back some of the open source Microsoft rants, because I got the feeling most people didn't like those. So there you go. Big changes happening to the Rubinode Show. It's good. All right. Anything but Monday. Which is ironic considering this is Monday. This is Anything But Monday. Maybe I should release this show on something other than a Monday, because people will be listening to Anything But Monday. Podcaster, it says, two angry heroes from New Jersey in the United States have returned from 20 years of self-imposed exile. 20 years ago, I was one. To blaze a trail of comedy and freedom with a radio show reborn, the first podcast worth paying for. Now, I started listening to this a few weeks ago. I actually caught onto the... I got onto the bandwagon fairly late, I have to admit. The first episode came out on the 19th of February of this year. But since then, they've got 4 more. Episode 2 came out on the 26th of February. Episode 3 on the 5th of March. And episode 4 actually coming out today. So by the time you hear this episode, they recorded it in advance. I'm actually recording on Monday. So I think they said they recorded it last Wednesday. Let me just say off front, I'm actually fairly impressed. If you listen to the Overnightscape, Mad Mike was on the Overnightscape a few times. And let me just say... I don't like being nasty or anything, but it just didn't, some things click, some things don't, let me put it that way, and it just didn't click for me. I guess my sense of humor is somewhat different, or I don't know, but that sort of style of Mad Mike's humor, well, it might be funny for some people, it wasn't so funny for me. Apparently I wasn't the only one on the forums who said that, but you know, we all have different tastes. If we all like the same thing, the world would be a very boring place. And if everyone liked the same thing, they wouldn't like the Ruben Owens Show and no one would tune in. So that would just be terrible. So the first podcast worth paying for, Anything But Monday Show, abmshow.com. ABM actually stands for something in Australia. I've forgotten what it stands. ABM actually means something. It's an acronym for something, but I can't remember what it is. Anything But Monday. That's what it'll stand for from now on. Anyway, so I listened to all four of their free shows so far, and I'm actually very impressed. Frank and Mad Mike go together very well. The back and forth, so forth, chatting and witty barbs and comments and that sort of thing. Again, some of the humor I didn't really find that funny, but then again, that's probably because of geography, maybe sort of American in jokes I don't get, that sort of thing. But a lot of it's pretty good, and I think it's a big improvement over his appearances on the Overnightscape. Again, not to say I didn't like his appearances on the Overnightscape, but, you know, it's we all have different tastes. That's the most politically correct way of putting it. Anyway, so I was at the same time today when that little escapade happened about the fact that I was gay. Before then, I was actually sitting at Starbucks waiting for my sister. She'd gone clothes shopping, and being a non-metrosexual guy, I find clothes shopping about as exciting as watching paint peel or ripping pages out of a book that I don't like very slowly and meticulously, that sort of thing. I find clothes shopping just fascinating. If I could just buy on the internet an entire wardrobe for $50, I'd be made. But actually, that's a good business model. People who couldn't be asked buyingclothes.com. I'm going to register that. Don't you dare. So anyway, yeah. So I was sitting there at the Starbucks listening to episode 4 of the Anything But Monday show earlier today. And I thought it was very, very funny. But there was one part of it that made me cringe a bit. I don't know why. I do know why, but it just made me cringe. And let me see if you can tell. You have to pay for the Anything But Monday show, right? It's a premium subscription. You have to pay. It's $8 per month US, or $7.99, $8 US. You might save 12 cents a year if you order a yearly subscription. So, and I had posted previously on my blog, on the rubenandshow.com/blog, and funny about that, I think if you type shade.sg, you can get to the blog as well. And I had posted about how $7.99, maybe in the US, very cheap, but for me in Malaysia at the time, here in Malaysia, $7.99 is actually a lot of money. It's close to, have I got my page open here? No, of course not. I'm so prepared, it's just brilliant. Okay, open link in new tab. I can show you the page. Yes, if you go to rubenoatshow.com/blog/anything-but-monday-show/, you can read my post entry, but I said that the $7.99 price for the Anything But Monday show is equivalent to about $27.90 per month in ringgit. So, and 27 ringgit per month can buy you several meals. It could buy you, you know, I could refill the fuel in your car and all this sort of stuff. So we're talking in Malaysian terms about a lot of money, when maybe in the US or Singapore or Australia, it's really not that much at all. And maybe when I move back to Singapore, it'll be a lot easier for me to pay for. Anyway, so I was very shocked to find, I was listening, of course, I've subscribed to it, so I don't read the descriptions, I just listen to it. And this one part of episode 4 really caught my attention and made me sort of stop drinking my coffee. So I'll turn the music down and let you hear this. This is the Anything But Monday show, episode 4. I believe it's about 14 minutes into the program. So this is, here we go.
Of them listening, some people may not have the money. Like, you know, for example, we got an email from Ruben from Kuala Lumpur.
Yeah.
And he was saying that to subscribe to the show was equivalent to like $40 a month or something, right? So in like Kuala Lumpur money,
yeah, our month,
$7.99 a month is like
the gross national product
exactly
of the country.
So people in other countries, I know, most of the world, the dollar is very weak against, but in some countries, the dollar is worth more. So
let me get this straight. You move to Kuala Lumpur to save money.
Yes.
That's why you go there.
Yeah.
Now, did his parents bring him there, or did he go there on his own?
No, he's from Australia originally.
Yeah, so you jump from Australia to Malaysia to save money.
I know. He's going to school, I think. I don't know.
Now, that's a pretty severe way to go save money. Like, I will move to Bangladesh, and will live in
Kuala Lumpur could be a great place. I don't know.
Yeah, all right. No.
I'm trying to find the post here where he says how much it's worth. Yeah, here it is. There's a purchasing power parity problem. Living in Malaysia, and it's basically $27.90 per month in whatever the Malaysian whatever rupees or whatever it is over there.
It serves you right for living in Malaysia. What do you expect?
Yeah.
You know what I expect, Mad Mike? You know what I expect? I expect to be treated with respect, Mike. I have a dream. I have a dream that those living in an Asian, and therefore poor, country can listen to a podcast by a brother of his in the north of the United States without being asked what he expected, Mark. Without being asked what he expected, Mark. I have a dream. I have a dream that a father will never have to move and his family have to move to another country because of the father's job, Mark. I have a dream today. Oh, yeah, I was on fire. Of course, there you go. Mark, I have a dream. I have a dream that I get respect despite the country I'm in. Frank, always being the gentleman, said that Kuala Lumpur may be a nice place. Very always being the gentleman, but I don't know why, but Mad Mike just... The hackles were raised, let me speak that. The hackles were
Malaysia,
raised.
Malaysia, what do you expect?
Yeah.
What is it to do in Malaysia? Jump off the tallest building in the world, right?
That's it. The Petronas Towers.
And
yeah.
After that, that's it. What else is there to do in Malaysia?
You know, that really...
Yeah, and so there you go. I don't know. I find a lot of political commentary funny, and when people bag at people bag at myself, it's fine. But that and I love the program, don't get me wrong, but that one comment just really got up my nose. But then again, as Mad Mike said himself later on in the free preview of the program, he said, even people who don't like me like the show. So there you go. Maybe that's the case, because I live in Malaysia, which is therefore a poverty-stricken Asian country. And here comes my only sort of gripe with this, is the fact that and again, maybe it's just because of education or something, but people have this idea in their head that if you're from Africa, or you're from Asia, or you're from South America, you must be poverty-stricken. The countries must just be poor. And especially Africa, especially Asia, get this rap all the time. And it's a real problem, I think. And it's a real sociological sign when people think, you know, if you're in Asia and you're not in Japan, you must be poverty-stricken. I remember the number of people when I lived in Singapore, for example, moved back to Australia for university for a year and a half, and people were saying, you lived in Singapore? That's in China, man. That's friggin' poor. How did you survive with all the poverty around here? So what I thought I'd do, for the benefit of Mad Mike, is I thought I'd give him a little bit of a geography lesson to sort of help him cope with this idea of Malaysia. So first of all, just give you an idea. Malaysia is a country of about similar population to Australia that's made up of two distinct parts. There's Peninsular Malaysia on the west, eastern part on the island of Borneo. It's bordered by Thailand to the north, Singapore to the south, and Indonesia. Okay. Now, economically, it's one of the more developed countries in Southeast Asia, along with Singapore and Brunei. Comparing Malaysia to Bangladesh is like asking a Canadian to move to Mexico. It's just not. Not the thing. And it's true, it's not the what did they call it? The ruble or something? It's the ringgit, all right? That's the currency. Ringgit actually is the Malay word for dollar. The majority of the country are ethnic Malays, though there are sizable and influential minorities of Indians and Chinese as well, not to mention a large proportion of Western business people. Now, as for Kuala Lumpur specifically, this poverty-riddled town in Bangladesh that Mad Mike was talking about, where it's so cheap, is the capital of Malaysia and has a metro population of about 7 million. The inner city is arguably just as clean as most Western cities and is home to the majority of Malaysian business. It's also home to the Kuala Lumpur Petronas Twin Towers and so forth. So again, I remember a similar comment on an episode of Cranky Geeks. I remember someone was talking about Malaysia, and he was talking about an archipelago in the Pacific Ocean that didn't have much internet connectivity. And when you think that Malaysia is the place where Intel and HP and Dell are setting up all these fabrication plants, and I mean, Asia is the place where all this stuff is happening, and you know, you don't want to isolate these people. These are the people who are going to be having all the money in the future, so you don't want to be pissing these people off, you know what I'm saying? So Mike, I love your show. Frank, I think you're a gentleman. I love your program as well, but Mike, leave out the bagging out of Malaysia. Thank you very much. It rubbed me the wrong way. Yeah, if I was Stephen Colbert, you're on notice, man. I could subscribe. I can't subscribe, obviously, now to the program because the Malaysian ringgit is undervalued. But really, Mad Mike, at the end of it, of course, it's you should know by now that I can't do it because
you expect.
Yeah. Rune being serious. No, but other than that, I think the show's brilliant. But if Mad Mike starts giving you a geography lesson, if it's not about the US, don't bother listening. There you go. Will it sink, ladies and gentlemen? We have a coffee cup here. It's a Starbucks Singapore coffee mug. This is the one that I use from about on episode 103 onwards for the Will It Sink. Very big Starbucks coffee mug. It's the deluxe size one. And on the Will It Sink segment, we put things into the mug full of water, and we see whether they float or whether they sink. It's a cheap knockoff of David Letterman and a cheap knockoff of Rove Live in Australia. So here we go. This is a Mitchum deodorant container. It says Mitchum Sport Antiperspirant, so effective you could even skip a day. I don't buy that for one second. And in fact, the label's coming off. That's a real sign of quality, though, there, that the label should come off. Mitchum Sport. And now, normally you would expect these things to sink, right? That usually these deodorant containers are made out of, glass, that see-through stuff. But in this case, it's not made of glass. It's made of plastic. It's made of polyethylene, it says on the, because it's got the thing, the symbol on the bottom, and I remember from my chemistry classes, that means polyethylene. So what we're going to do is we're going to dump this into the water, and we're going to see whether it floats or whether it sinks. Do you think it'll float or sink? Full deodorant container, but it's made out of plastic. So next week I'll be doing I'm such a wild man doing this. I'm telling you that right now. I'm a wild man living in a poverty-stricken country like Malaysia. There's a glass one right in front of me there, but I've got the plastic one, and we're going to dunk it in, and we're going to see whether it floats or sinks. So here we go. Drum roll, please. I don't have a drum roll sound. Pretend there's a drum roll sound. Here we go. Oh! Wow. There you go. Other than being splashed to death, that went completely to the bottom and then bounce back up again. So there you go, a full container of deodorant. I hope I didn't wreck that. I've probably wrecked that now. There's probably water got inside and diluted it and something. And I've got water on my laptop as well. That's sleeping and it's woken it up again. Oh, I woke up my laptop, the poor thing. Watered that off. So there you go, a small container, a 50ml container of deodorant, roll-on deodorant, man out of plastic, floats. There you go. Will it sink here on the Rumino Show? We do crazy things in the name of science here. I reject your reality and substitute my own Mitchum Sport antiperspirant deodorant. Okay, here on the Rubinert Show, it's time for the Rubinert interview. Now, I apologize in advance. I seem to say I apologize a lot on this program, that I interviewed Felix Tangiono, who is one of my friends from university. Friends from primary school and high school back when I lived in Singapore. Mad Mike, that's a very rich country in Asia. You may know that one. I love the program. I really do. I don't know why, but I really hate people who are patriotic towards countries. Countries are such a man-made thing, you know. It's political and stuff. But I don't know why. That just rubbed me the wrong way. It was no good. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play you the interview. And Felix lives in the United States now. He's going to university there. It's all in the interview, so I'll stop talking about that there. It was my first interview using iChat, so unfortunately there's a little bit of a lag and the volume wasn't quite up to scratch. I tried to clean it up as much as possible for you to let me know. So I'll reduce the volume on the Mad Player, and here we go, the first Rubinerd Show interview.
Expect.
Oh, wait, no, that was...
Expect.
You could make a techno beat out of that.
Expect. Expect. Expect.
You expect. You could almost. What do you expect? You live in Malaysia. What do you expect? What do you expect? You could almost do that. Anyway, first interview here on the Rubinert Show. Good stuff. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to introduce to you someone I've known for a very, very long time. I met him in school in Singapore. Nonetheless, his name is Felix Tangiono. He's calling all the way from Indiana, I think, a very small town in Indiana. So, Felix, how are you going? Good, it's good, la. So, what?
Above.
And the problem with recording these shows, you must understand, ladies and gentlemen, is that with time zone differences, it's currently 1:20 in the morning here in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. What's the time over there for you, Felix?
12 in the afternoon.
Yeah, so it's almost opposite of each other. It's strange. So it's Sunday for me already, but it's Saturday for you. That just freaks me out. Doesn't make sense. Because the world is flat, right? The world is flat. If the world is flat like that, flat, then if the sun is coming down, wouldn't that mean that we're all on the same time? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Today on the Rubino Show, I've only got a few minutes to interview Felix. I met Felix in, was it year six I met you first time?
Year six.
And I was in Mrs. Simpson Jones's class. And you were, in Mr., what was his name, Adam something? In Singapore. Of course, Felix and I went to school in Singapore. Since year six. That was amazing. So, and what year was that? That was 1998, was it? 1998. So it's now 2007. So that means we've known each other for 9 years? Roundabout?
That's cool.
Yeah, 9 years, man. That's damn. Because most people in primary school forget that sort of stuff. I'm like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's insane. And we've seen many people at school come and because people in Singapore, people come and go a lot. So Felix and I were there the whole time, and people would leave and then arrive and then leave and then arrive, and. It's just, fortunately, I haven't got any more emails from BBB, though, which is good.
BBB? Okay, the BBB.
You remember that, yeah. For the sake of that person, we won't, just in case they're listening, I'm sure they're not, but, sorry?
We won't talk about it.
We won't talk about it. I remember Felix and I think it started with Prem and Rajesh at when we were in high school, had this system of code names for people. So they would have, we'd assign code names to people. So Laura Douglas was Ladder, was it? And Tank and stuff. And the soap. And what was Bevan Gann again? Do you remember what Bevan was?
I forgot.
I've got the text file on my other hard disk, but I don't have here. That'd be so good to go through. And you were Teflon, right?
I'm Teflon.
The Teflon. And because Felix Tangiono flipped the words around, it's Teflon. And what was I again? I forgot what I was. Did I have one?
I forgot. I think you were Teflon. Yeah, I think
you have
one.
My God. I'll need to look these things up. So anyway, don't have much time left. So what university course? Oh, because you're at a university in the US now. What course are you doing?
What would you call it? Unemployment?
I beg your pardon?
Unemployment.
Unemployment. Okay. but you're a full time student, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter. It's all good. I'm doing work for Oracle now, but very boring. Yeah, but very very I wouldn't say boring, but it's just pointless. It feels like
you come to US.
Well, I would come to US, but very expensive, la. So far away.
Hey.
Oh, yeah, is that your plan once you leave university to go to work for Apple?
Is that Apple or Google?
Apple or Google? Okay. What about Microsoft?
Or Yahoo.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yahoo. Yeah. But no Microsoft.
No.
Hmm. Mozilla. Yeah, that, actually, that'd be pretty. Have you seen the like that Songbird program yet? Have you seen that?
No.
I think it's made by Mozilla. It's like a replacement for iTunes, but it runs off Mozilla program, so it looks like Mozilla something. I think iTunes is better though. Yes, in my professional opinion. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Felix is very important to the Rubinode Show because it was actually with Felix that I started the Rubinode Show in Singapore back in... we came up with the idea at the end of 2004 after our exams and stuff. So it was...
stressed.
Sorry?
When we are stressed...
Yeah, oh yeah. Can you remember that the... they built a brand new school, the Australian International School in Singapore. They built a brand new campus, brand new school, and they put the exam hall right next to the gym. I mean, what the hell?
It's in the gym.
So and it's a brand new school, and they built it specifically so that the exams and the gym, it was right next to each other. It was just stupid. So I remember when I was doing IPT, the information processes and technology, so forth.
Cool.
Oh yeah, peace. I remember sitting there for the exam for that, and it was just occasionally you just hear like someone throwing a ball, and it would go pop, bang, bang, bang against the wall, and they'd be like, "Shut up down there, doing exam." stupid, is it? Very strange. Yeah, so known Felix for a very long time. What other podcasts do you listen to? Do you listen to anything? Well, Overnightscape, of course, but anything else?
Rubinode Show.
Oh, very good. I listen to Rubinode Show, too. It's very good.
Yeah, it's very good. It's a guy who talks to himself.
It talks to himself, yeah. It's insane. And he's very sexy, I think, as well. If you listen to his voice. Yes.
Yeah. And then also
a
podcast,
Netcast. Yeah, it's I never understood that. Of course, for those people who don't know, Leo Laporte says that podcasting is a copyrighted term or something. So we have to use Netcast instead. I think that's just stupid. I mean, to me, that's like saying, let's not use the word television or TV. Let's use NetV instead. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Yeah, I think Leo Laporte is a bit... I think he's got a good voice, though, you think?
Yeah,
a little bit. Leo Laporte, This Week in Tech.
Twit, yeah. What about, have you, with John C. Dvorak as well? Just, I get no spam. Spam. I'm sure he does get spam. I think that's stupid. He must get spam.
That is the best episode ever.
It was like, tagline? with the sound at the end, it was like, I get no spam. I get no spam. That was pretty good. Anyway, we don't have much time left. Actually, we've only got about 45 seconds left. Anything else you want to say?
I'm just
going to
nothing.
Nothing? Nothing to say.
Yeah.
No, nothing to say. You should.
We could do that.
Yes. Yes. Well, getting on to serious things again. Yes. You should do your own podcast as well.
It's hot, man.
It's very hot. You just talk about random crap. It's very good. It was very good. Anyway,
no,
yeah. Anyway, yes, ladies and gentlemen. So, all the way from Indiana in the United States, Felix Tangiono, thank you for being on the program. Thank you. Yes, we finally got it working. Finally. All right, there we go. The first interview here on the Ruben Earn Show. I apologize about the quality there. Maybe we were just so far away geographically and the internet here not being particularly good. There was that really irritating lag, and you got the feeling that a lot of what he was saying was being cut off and cut back on again, cut off, cut back on again. I'll try and clean that up. Maybe we'll use a different program next time. So anyway, very first episode of the Ruben Earn Show, once a week, every Monday, Monday 12th of March 2007. This has been Ruben Earn Show 221. It's been a pleasure having your company. I hope to see you again next Monday. We've got, as usual, a lot of stuff coming up. Got another guest, got more syncing things, top fives, listener feedback, funny thing happened, anyway, podcast reviews, books, music, all this sort of stuff, all coming your way on the all-new Ruben Earn Show. So until then, you have yourself a great week, hopefully a very productive one. Hope to see you again next Monday.